Welcome to the Cosmic Poet Show. This is Douglas Newsome. I hope everybody is having a wonderful Thursday. Matter of fact, here in this beautiful, beautiful, quaint, I gotta say it's quaint, town of Paradise, California, where my twin brother now resides with myself, it was beautiful. This is the first beautiful day we've had in probably 2 months. I mean truly beautiful. Where you woke up in the morning and you weren't freezing and it wasn't raining or it wasn't drizzly. And then it finally did break clear. And we've had 2 days like that where you actually had clear afternoons. But it's been wet and damp. And believe me, thoroughly wonderful to the senses, if you can appreciate it. And I do, because I'm from Houston for the past 15 years. And it was very warm all the time, hot. So the variation is sensational, really, as experiences go. And I almost got used to the rain. But even if it rains in Texas, it rains for an hour hard. An hour hard. I mean, you walk a block and you're drenched. Here in Paradise, it doesn't rain so hard. But it rains and rains. It doesn't let up. It doesn't say, okay, we'll rain for 15 minutes and stop for and then rain another hour, or rain the next day. It just continues to rain. And it might go on for days. It's been, I got to search way back in memory to remember an experience like that. They say already this year, we've had over 100 inches of rain, which is double the normal yearly annual rainfall, which is around 52 inches per year. So we got here and it started raining, but I say, bring it on, get it out of your system. We love it here and we're sticking around. Oh, boy, you know. This has been a really, truly wonderful week for me. What is the Cosmic Show, Poet Show about? It's about poetic thoughts, poetry in life, in the way that we pen it on paper or type it into a computer, but it really is a poetry of life and of thoughts. I think in many respects, that's exactly what our life is, a poetry. Action poetry. Poetry in action, essentially. That's what we are. We're just an action, and we're doing it poetically. So everything in life can be boiled down to that. You're looking through some of the most interesting poems, and I haven't done that in quite some time. Believe me, this show has brought me back to reading poetry, and I enjoy it so thoroughly. I almost missed it. There was a time period there where for almost all my life, where I can't remember a moment where I really had moments to myself. But I do now, and I'm pondering thoughts again. This is a poem, and please, and I say this to everybody, post some of your works on authorsinkwell.com. Authors Inkwell is just a link under PBS Radio. A little link off to the right under blog and service. I don't want to make it confusing because it's confusing how to get there. That's why I just do the URL. Authorsinkwell.com. And I'll read your poetry online. I really would love to read your poetry online. It's exciting to me when new artists get to express themselves or when old and tried and true artists get to express themselves. We all can glean something from inspired words by everyone around us, because we all have those words within us. But I'm going to read you a more famous poem. It's called "Are You Digging on My Grave" by Thomas Hardy. Ah, are you digging on my grave, my loved one, planting rue? No, yesterday he went to wed. One of the brightest wealth has bred. It cannot hurt her now, he said, that I should not be true. Then who is digging on my grave, my nearest, dearest kin? Ah, no, they sit and think. What use? What good will planting flowers produce? No tendons of her mound can loose her spirit from death's gin. But someone digs upon my grave, my enemy, prodding sly. Nay, when she heard you had passed the gate that shuts on all flesh soon or late, she thought you no more worth her hate, and cares not where you lie. Then who is digging on my grave, say, since I have not guessed? Oh, it is I, my mistress dear,
your little dog who still lives near. And much I hope my movements here have not disturbed your rest. Ah, yes, you dig upon my grave. Why flashed it not to me that one true heart was left behind? What feeling do we ever find to equal among humankind a dog's fidelity? Mistress, I dug upon your grave to bury a bone in case I should be hungry near this spot when passing on my daily trot. I am sorry, but I quite forgot it was your resting place. Anyways, I thought that was just a very enjoyable read, so I bring it to the table. I brought something to the table. Now I encourage everybody else to bring it to authorsinkwell.com. And let me read your works online. This is just some of the wonderful aspects to the Cosmic Poet Show, poetry. But one of the other parts of the show is really my thoughts. And I've been writing my thoughts down, everybody. I'm putting together this thought book, and I'm entitling it The Bible to Self-Awareness. And I hope to publish it. So in this book, I write things that come to me and little daily trials, and I'd like to read one. The old saying, think before you act, seems vitally important. However, in reality, it is totally unnecessary. If you stop all thought and just be for an instant, you will proceed with a greater sense of oneness, awareness. You would be more likened to a God in a perfect state of perfection. Thinking is something we do because we are meant to learn and apply knowledge to shape our realities. But in truth, reality is perfect, just as it is. Thought leads to more thought, which leads to more thought, until unified awareness is attained. A status requiring no thought. A conscious existence which does not require action. We stop acting and or reacting from, let's say, emotion. Acting basically signifies you want control of your environment through your own deeds. Why? Because you don't trust that everything is perfect or that everything will work out perfectly. You think instead. You take control consciously, not trusting to your higher state of being. A being which is already perfect and which doesn't need to think or act. All a perfect being's desires and needs are satisfied in a state of perfect union with everything because it knows it is everything without thought. It just is. Now, I don't know if that's true. And in many ways, I thought about that, pondered long and hard, because I feel that even the creation of all things has something that wants to grow within it and expand and retract and grow. And it grows with every new cycle just as we would, for example. And we are it and we're growing. So isn't it the nature of all things? But what I'm trying to say here is we don't trust enough that everything's going to be perfect. And we think we're thoughtful. And I guess maybe as creatures we were born in the beginning thinking of danger and how to respond to it. You know, if we could just go around like it's something that wasn't worried about anything except maybe finding the next flower. And what worries really are there? So they don't think they instinct. It's just they're a part of nature. They flow, right? So in that way, they're more linked. And that's kind of the way my logic flowed through that daily trial. There is a poet of, I think, so much creativity and power in her words. And every week she graces our forum, Authors Inc. Well. You know, there's got to be a way to say that. Maybe there's some sort of ditty, some tune we can all think up, or I can have Don create that's, authorsinkwell.com, something like that. They'll just get everybody remembering it and posting their work.
I sound like I'm begging.
Dr. Valerie, your poem, I Sigh for Love.
I love the title.
Oh my, I sigh and look for more of life to understand. I know so much and yet so little. There is much, much more yet to explore. I sigh and look with wonder on the wonders displayed before me. Such beauty and such ugliness, side by side, how can that be? Look through eyes of childhood. Life as child? How everything was exciting and new? How some things were so pleasurable that they must, nay, had to, be repeated? Remember the shock at first reprimand, the dismay at feeling that something was not right, that somehow it was only my fault, remembering the confusion? Ah, the wonder of wonders, the love of mother and father, or if not that, of sibling, aunt or uncle, stranger or some other. Such love we seek above all others, the love that reminds us of something else. The love is all we remember and seek throughout life. It drives us on. The magic of that sweet moment of true love, when all creation lays before us and reminds us that it is, so that we may love. Such a gift is not to be squandered. Sweet, sweet surrender to love, to all that is. We learn it first in family, then friends, then lovers, then again friends, and strangers from the same place. What place might that be, we wonder, as we look deep into the eyes of the other? Ah, yes, I remember now. Love is all there is. There can never be any other. Thank you, Dr. Valerie. I really love her poetry, folks. You can read so much of her work and other who ponder thoughts in rhythm and tune and lights of fancy ringing in their minds. And they post it to authorsinkwell.com. You know, maybe this whole network will just have such an influx of eyeballs to this network, it'll just sort of naturally overflow into some of these other sidebar areas of PBS radio, like Authors Inkwell, and I hope it does, because it gives me content for my show, and I just love to read poetry. I'm not very good, so I really do encourage even some of the authors of their own works to call in. I really encourage that. I'd love to hear somebody call in and read their work online. It's never quite as well orated as the author of the poem always knows just the way in which he intended to hear it. And I encourage anybody who has the gusto to give me a call. I'm doing it. This isn't so hard. Well, actually, folks, it can be quite nerving from time to time. This is a poem that my brother, my twin brother, Donald Newsom, yay, come on, put your hands together. Chris Moores, and Amy Butson, his girlfriend, all four individuals, myself and the three others, came together to write a piece of poetry. And it was Amy's brilliant idea. I believe it was Amy's. And she just started saying, well, why don't we each just write a line and pass it on to the next person. They can't read what the first person's, bottom line is you just write it. And it was very interesting the way it unfolded. And it's called Flights of Fancy and Fanciful Flights. Through flights of fancy and fanciful flights, tonight, tonight with friends alight, stories of past and present in sight, with gratitude, love, and life to share. For in our fancy, merriment ensues, to our absolute delight hearts abound, a shepherdship of love to infinite degree, spreading expression in co-joined flight. Going to, it matters not where, there is not a care when you are aware, Experience leads to wisdom, innocence, and joy. Digging deep, you realize what is already there. Dark wings aflutter above all heights, watching quietly the moonlight's ruse. For Gaia is smiling, yet nowhere love shall rule these nights. Now, how famous is that ever going to be, folks? I ask myself, but, you know, it lingers in your mind. It stays there and just bubbles inside and hits things and hits nerves and wakes up little things that might be falling asleep. And sooner or later, it gets a response. Well, actually, almost anything gets a response as long as it goes in the brain. You just may not be aware. You're actually eliciting it somewhere. But you do. Even in just your demeanor, the way you feel in the second, you hear it. Now, I'm going to read another daily trial. I love these things. They're thought-provoking. Look, if I read something that you totally disagree with, call me up and say, Doug, if you don't mind, I'm going to have to hit you over the head with an ugly stick, and I'll listen. I'm that man. I really will listen. I got great ears. And I'll listen for every, because it's tough to do all the talking. Matter of fact, I prefer to do the listening. This is a real switch for me. So, here we go. This is, again, in the Bible, to self-awareness. Imagine a ball representing the known universe. Just a ball representing the known universe. In this ball, there are atoms representing every particle of consciousness in the known universe. Now imagine every atom emanating an electrical from its core. So it's sparking, like you see one of those little lightning balls? Well, imagine that. That's when all these little atoms. And these currents reach out and touch, join, overlap every other electric current emanating from every other atom in the ball. So the electricity is overlapping everything else. They're all kind of just true. Imagine now you are the ball. And just like the atom, you emanate a current, electric currents, which are blending out with all the other electric currents emanating from within the ball. So it's blending in with all the other atoms that are emanating the currents within this ball. Now imagine these electric currents are telephone wires, whatever you want to, but make them wires, this thing. Imagine these wires are now traveling to all parts of the ball, sending and receiving messages. So your electrical currents are more like telephone wires, they're still currents, but through all these currents, there's information just like a telephone wire, go back and forth to everything. When we were awake, like telephone wires, we send out electric currents out everywhere, but we send more current toward a focal point where attention is drawn at any given moment. We are, in essence, making a telephone call to a specific location, if you can imagine that. So within the ball, if you're waking up, you saw this atom in the distance, and now you're making a telephone call, and your electricity is out to that, okay, if you can imagine. But during a period of meditation, imagine emanating electric currents everywhere, which reach and join, overlap every current in existence from one point of the ball to the other, to the entire galaxy, to all other points, to everything else. Imagine this current emanating out from your center, 360 degrees in every direction. This is one way of becoming one with everything. It's a meditation that can link you subconsciously with all life, all information, all frequency, all time, every dimension. In our waking state, we tend to focus our energy. Essentially, we limit ourselves. In a meditative state described above, we open up and experience a joining with all energy. In this instance, there is no limit, no compartmentalization of our ability to give off or receive the force inherent in all of creation. We become one. We blend with everything everywhere. Now, if you can imagine that, remember the last daily trial I spoke about not thinking. Well, this is the reason why one would not think. We are, in essence, trying to control. It's basically our method of controlling our destiny, which is what we're intended to do right now. not control it, but think we are. Kind of in a weird sign of a strange, not to make choices, but really in essence at your higher level, you're experiencing, you're just an expression of experience. You leave all the action force up to God, or the Creator, or whatever you are, part of it you are, because you're not going to make a more perfect choice than all of you. Like, maybe you will, maybe you're linked to that, and you are, you're linked to everything, just a tornado, you're drawing from that power from everything, of you. Don't get me worked up. I take this stuff seriously. Today I had a glass fest. I had the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Ann West on the phone, one of our show hosts. And what a beautiful lady. What a beautiful lady. Has her own show. A heart that'll just, you can just tell she's a lady with a white hat. I always like to call myself a man who wears a white hat. Well, she's a lady who wears a white hat. So check out her show, Truth from the Source, and Dr. Ann West. Matter of fact, I'd love to give a little stint on every single show we have in our lineup. We're really doing something here that's just exciting. I mean, I get to sit back and, while I'm working, listen to all these wonderful almost 50 shows from 50 different hosts, from 50 different spiritual perspectives, each with their own powerful emanating force of substance and information under the world, and I get to listen to it nonstop 24/7, folks. Does anybody have an aspirin? No, I'm joking. It's fabulous, and I turn it on all day long. I'm a BBS radio nuthead. This is all I'm listening to, folks. And so will the rest of the world. You know how I believe this. Because you have some shows here that take what I know to a level of wisdom and expression and expansion that I'm just now starting to understand the value in. Took a long time for me to wake up, but I eventually did, and this is the sort of material that just turns you on, folks, gets you excited. It rings something in every fiber of your core that says, ah, I'm that powerful, I'm that perfect, why didn't I remember this sooner? But I hope you never say why. You don't have to. Listen to BBS Radio. It'll give you an instant kundalini. An instant kundalini. Can you imagine that? Have you even tried? Has anybody out there even tried to imagine what an instant kundalini would feel like? What the heck is an instant kundalini? What's a kundalini? Right? What does that mean? What new word did he just think up? It's a spiritual awakening. At the molecular level, it's a bonding with all things, which you already are, but it's an awareness of the link. It like wakes you up and says, ah, boy, I'll never be the same, because now I truly am part of something vast. You know, it's a joining almost. Like, it's a knowing that you're joined. It's a knowing. It's that third leg, and you know you got it. All you have to do is ask for it. That's really, it's a little bit harder than that. It's gotta be, it's as hard as you want it to be. How hard do you want it to be? You wanna lay down the hard, percentages based on what some other, venerated master of 50 years tells you have to do? Is that what it takes? Does reaching a kundalini, a spiritual awakening, mean you gotta go through life's trials? Huh? How about meditate for 30 years? An hour a day before you figure, really? Hey, do you have to be really smart? Do you have to have an IQ over 400? How about 200? 120? How old do you have to be to get a kundalini? I don't know. Who out there says it takes time and effort? Well, almost everything you've ever read. Isn't that funny? They all make it so mystical. It's not mystical. It's what you are. You are a mystic. You're a force. You're a force. And You know this. You remember this. And all you have to do is ask to remember. Ask to be shown in your own mind. Spend time with... When I say higher yourself, I mean your more parts of you that you pull in. You right now, you're aware of you. But your higher self knows that you and I are one. Or, you know, you can live in the same space and still be separate and you can still be one. It knows this. It's there. So it's got the benefit of you and me and your neck. It might have 50, it might have 1,000, it might have planets, it might have everything, but your higher self at the highest point is all things. You're one. There can be only one. There can be only one. I love that saying. It's so true. And there is only one. You. Infinitely larger than you know yourself at this time. Infinitely more aware than you know yourself at this time. Infinitely more aware of your parts and I got to tell you folks, it's exciting when you know that. You still, even though I know this, it's like a funnel into my head and it just pulls this information in. Feeling it is what you experience once in a while. It's like a feeling, and when you get hit with something like that, when you get hit with a kundalini, your brain will not. Depends how hard, but you'll never. Your brain will wake up. It'll just go bing, and all these complex systems will become simple to you, simpler. You start to use this new aware, God, so simple, I'm a part of everything, I don't have to hate myself, I can love everything all day. Oh, and when you start knowing how simple things really are, then you break down complex things into the simple things, and you sound like a genius, and you're not, you can't understand why everybody made it so complex. That's what happens. Some people, they can sit on a book, they don't even have to read the book, the words just come filtering into their head. So wherever along that kundalini ladder you wake up to be, it's just, you don't have to work at it. You just have to ask for it and spend time. As much time as you think you need, but know that it's possible. You could say to you, if you really believed it was possible right now, you go bing, but everybody thinks it's just like going to school, you got to take your classes, and sooner or later you earn that right, and then after a while study, it happened to me, and I was stepping out of the shower. And it didn't stop hitting me in the head and my body and every part of me for a good 10-15 minutes. It was so long, I just couldn't stop. I couldn't believe it. Now, I know what I did. Am I meant to have that? No, you're meant to have that. We're all meant to have that. That's part of all of our evolution. More. You get to go in a whole new direction. Whatever this place for me is a different place here for you. But they're all right paths. But you gotta know that there's a path. Your path. And that you can look towards it and creating it and developing it just by going inward. Spending a bit of time with yourself and thought. It's really the key. Meditation is the key. Love makes you smart. Hey, you know, that should be the slogan of the world. Love makes you smart. Meditation is the key. There's a motto. I can live with that. Those two were ideas put together in a motto. Because to me, that rings of a lot of truth. Let's see here. I get excited when I look at a poem by Edgar Allan Poe. Edgar Allan Poe, what a writer, huh? I mean, one of the few. No wonder so many people love this man's works. I've read only a few of them, maybe 4 or 5, but each and every one I truly enjoy. And I stumbled upon this one, and it's called "To One in Paradise." Thou wast all that to me, love, for which my soul did pine. A green isle in the sea, love, a fountain and a shrine, all wreathed with fairy fruits and flowers, and all the flowers were mine. Ah, dream too bright to last, ah, starry hope, that didst arise, but to be overcast. A voice from outer future cries, oh no, bode o'er the past, dim gulf, my spirit hovering lies, mute motionless, aghast. For alas, alas, me, the light of life, is aware. No more, no more, no more, such language holds the solemn sea to the sands upon the shore, shall bloom the thunder-blasted tree, or the stricken eagle soar. And all my days are trances, and all my nightly dreams are where thy gray eye glances, and where thy footstep gleams, in what ethereal dances, by what eternal streams. Wow. Right, you talk about a tongue twister. He's got it. Those really good poems, you know, they bring back that old English. And sometimes they can be real tongue twisters. I would recommend anybody read a poem out loud. Get back into some of those Charles Dickinson's and John Keats and Shakespeare, and just go back there in time and read some of those works. They are funsy, I'm telling you. This is a poem I wrote just recently. I had fun with this one. See if you can follow my train of thought. It's called Young One. Oh, venerated one. Young one, what heights have you inspired, son, or ode to joys created, or reveries of victories been part of, or of life sated? Why does your portrait not hang upon my walls? Have you trekked and been forgotten, stood your ground alone, embarked, o'er completed something, rode it through a storm? O venerated one, I turned to many a leaf, leaving scatterings still unshorn, rode great cosmic cycles, beyond and back, far from home. Don't judge me, I've lived past lives. A part of me is part of you, and we are what's been fated. Scraped clamoring through physicality I come, now unabated. That was fun. Actually, I do write some interesting other works that are just tickle my fancy. But I often recognize that stuff because I don't think it's good enough. But I figure, you know, what the hey. Today is the Cosmic Poet Show, and I got to show a little silliness. This particular poem I wrote, I really don't know why. I guess I was having fun, and I really wanted to spin a spiritual side of it. Try to follow. It's called Sight Shown. Could it be? Is this the gift? Awareness, our sight, clairvoyance, ESP? Is the answer this simple? Can we trust what we see? What should I ask of it? What will become of me? A picture is shown, revealed in my head, a clear picture depicting my head on a throne. Now questions abound, I need more abstraction. When shall this occur? A picture comes forth, a postcard, it's been dated. I'll be 83. Now more questions abound, and I need to meditate. Share the gift. Should I ask another? Is this ethic and moral? Who's asking the question? I saw my head on a throne. I saw my head on a throne. Well, I wanted to tell you all a little bit about the inner workings of BBS Radio. I'm actually coming out with my twin brother. Yay, we're going to be on a show together. And I'm excited about that because that means I get somebody to play with, somebody to play fugue with, somebody to bounce words off of, a sounding board, somebody who shares their ideas, expresses their thoughts. You know, that makes for much, that is, you know what, Howard Stern didn't get there because he's smart, and I'm not going to say anything. He got there because he had other people in the background. Yes, and personality, and the hair, I think. I don't know, maybe the hair didn't get him there. Yeah, you know, who knows. He could have thought it got him there, and it probably did if he thought it did. That's how the world works. What do you think your power of attraction is? Do you think it's your hair? Your eyes? Well, whatever you think you are, you are. Whatever the rest of the world thinks you are, even though you see yourself within their reflections, You know, essentially, we are, how should I put it? We live in a world of projections and reflections. You learn by reflecting in the moment. Think about it. We reflect on a moment in the moment, don't we? So within that, we learn of it. We learn of it. We don't just experience it. We now learn of it because we're thinking about it. So we're reflecting on the moment that's transpired. And in each moment, you consider information, right? So in the moment that you're reflecting, you're considering information. Information, which is inherently a past tense tool. Information is now the past tense tool. So we learn by looking at the past. In this way, we are basically just reflections of moments to the mind. Think about it. We are living in a world of projections. We're projecting out who we are, which are born of our reflections, our thoughts of information, which is basically, and vice versa. A virtual hologram is created, which we interpret as reality. All those projections together create a hologram, which reflects back to or on us. We reflect and then project and then project on what is reflected. A hologram for observations is born, giving us information for experience and expression. Information, which is inherently just a past tense tool. When we reflect on ourselves, think about it. When we reflect on the situation, we're using a reflection of what's just transpired, what we think is just transpired, if you want to use a time element. So we're reflecting on it, the past. That's our point of reference, reflecting on that. So which is always a past tense tool. It's constantly a past tense tool. And we project outwards based on these reflections. Just imagine your projections on all sides, you up, down, up, around, right, left, below you, and we're just a 3D, three-dimensional interpretation, a reality module, a hologram. It's created out of these projections. Nobody's going to believe that, but you're really within your own mind. Everything around you is created as a force, as a result of what your mind wants to forget. It doesn't. If it remembered, it would know that this is just one element, one dimensional portion. Maybe we're using multiple dimensions within each of our whatever you want. If you want to chop them up into pieces of dimensional pies, and some people do. We got 12 dimensions. We got 13 dimensions. How many dimensions do we use? I mean, a lot of theories up there, and I love to discuss them all. But bottom line, and everybody out there agrees, we're living in a hologram, folks. All spiritual people understand that your mind, you're really just a force of thought, which translates into action particles moving and joining and bonding to create your thought in a visual sense, a physicality, a reality, that we call it. Anyways, I thought that's another area that my thoughts dwell on when I'm writing the Bible to self-awareness. Okay, let's see if I can take you back to one more inspired bit of work. I could talk with you all day, but you know what I would really love? I would really love to read more poetry. Please send it to authorsinkwell.com. I have stuff to talk about online, and soon I'm going to be famous. And then what are you going to think of me then? You're all going to be clamoring to post your work on Authors Inkwell, and then you know what's going to happen? I'm going to give my seat to somebody else because I don't want to be famous. I just want to share good news, wonderful thoughts, great works, poetry, my time, on a personal level. And it's exciting to have this opportunity. I love everyone out there We are going to close off this show so I can get a drink, because after 45 minutes of speaking, I'm parched. And I wish you all adieu, and we'll see you next week at 8 o'clock on the Cosmic Poet Show.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.